In decision-making, the sunk cost fallacy makes us stupid. Don't let it trick you. But first, a quick word from my sponsor. Hello, hello. My name is Jeff Wang, and you're listening to the Grok This podcast, where I talk about anything and everything. To grok is to understand intuitively and fully. My mission for this podcast is to better understand the world, to better grok concepts and interesting things in life, in economics, in philosophy, in beauty, in relationships, and society. Thank you for joining me on this journey, and I hope you better understand the world a little bit better after listening to my podcast. So I recently wrote a post on my finance and economics blog, Down to Finance. You can find it at www.downtofinancedtf.com. And I wrote about decision making and behavioral economics and how to make better decisions given facing sunk cost fallacies. So that's what I'm going to talk about today, the sunk cost fallacy. So first off, what is the sunk cost fallacy? So in behavioral economics, or in general microeconomics theory, the sunk cost fallacy is any cost that has been already incurred and cannot be recovered or refunded. So for example, when businesses spend money on research and development, they can't suddenly, after they get the research and development done, they can't suddenly decide, oh, we don't want to have done this research because it didn't prove what we wanted. They can't suddenly refund that research and development. They can't give it back and get their money back and undo the research. So behavioral economics teaches us that we should then make sure to not factor in these sunk costs into future decision making. So for research and development, if that's a sunk cost, you're not supposed to use that aspect into making decisions, helping you make better decisions in the future. So a traditional example is kind of like buying tickets to an event, maybe like a concert or maybe to prom, maybe to a movie. Let's say you've already bought these tickets and they're non-refundable. And on the day of the event, you get just incredibly sick and you're just super tired and all you want to do is lay in bed or stay home because you feel gross and you'll have a bad time if you do go out. Now, the sunk cost fallacy, the sunk cost fallacy would trick you into still going to the event because you've already paid for the ticket. So your thought process might be, oh, I've already paid for the ticket and I want to make sure that I don't waste that money, so I'm going to go anyways. But here's the thing, that ticket price is a sunk cost. You know, you can't get that non-refundable, you can't get that money back because it's non-refundable and it's on the day of the event. You can't sell it, you can't transfer it. So that shouldn't be factored into your future decisions. The fact that you've already paid for it shouldn't matter whether you go or not if you think you're going to have a bad time because you're sick. You feel like if you do go, you'll have a bad time. So here are the two results. Either way, you are short $20. So one alternative is you are short $20 because you bought the ticket already. It's non-refundable. And you choose to go to the event and you have a terrible time. The other alternative is you're still short $20 because it's a sunk cost. Doesn't matter what you do. You're going to be short $20 either way. But the other option is you are short $20, but you choose to stay in, you stay home, and you watch Netflix with your family, and you rest up, and you drink some good chicken noodle soup, and you have a pretty good night anyways. So that's obviously sounds better, right? Either way, as the sunk cost, the ticket price, the sunk cost, either way, you've already paid for that ticket, so and it's non-refundable. So it shouldn't factor into your future decision-making. So really, if you look at it in a more simplistic way, it's really you have two options. You can go to the event and have a terrible time, or you stay home and watch Netflix and relax and recover and feel better, and you don't feel gross having gone out sick. So in that case, it's pretty simple in making the right decision here. The issue is a lot of times we get that sunk cost fallacy. The fact that we've already paid for it makes us still want to do something, makes us still want to go. So the sunk cost fallacy makes you incur stupid future costs. Really, it's more the motto of let bygones be bygones. Now, another great example, one of the best examples I can think of in understanding the logic behind sunk costs is in poker. So let's say throughout the game of poker, you know, poker hand, you're continually betting some money, you know, throughout the whole game. You know, you bet money before the flop comes, the first three cards come, you bet more money because you think you're going to win the turn, which is the fourth card, you bet more money little by little, little. And then right before the final card, or right after the final card is shown, so all the cards are shown, everyone, you know, knows exactly what they have in terms of their hand capability and their options. And it's just you against one other person. Now, here's the thing. In this scenario, both you and your opponent know for sure that your hand is complete crap. There's 0% chance of you winning. Both of you know this because you guys are both, you know, relatively good poker players, both good at reading the table, mathematically, logically, whatever it is, proves that your opponent has the better hand. And you know for certain you're going to lose. Now, your opponent bets $1. Do you also bet? Do you call or do you fold? Most people would call. And that's a sunk cost fallacy because they think, oh, I've already bet so much money. I've already put so much money in the pot, you know, as a sunk cost. I want to make sure I still, you know, keep my foot in. So even that extra dollar, I'll bet it. Just like if I've paid for the ticket, I want to use that decision and continue going forward. But here's the thing. If you know you're going to lose and those sunk costs, the money you've already put in the pot, you can't get back. So any future decisions making, you shouldn't even bet that dollar. You shouldn't even bet one penny if your opponent bets a penny, because you really shouldn't make that extra bet, regardless of the bet amount, if it's $1,000 or a penny. Because you can't get those sunk costs back, that shouldn't be factored into your future decision making. So think of it as this. Think of it as you have no money in the pot, your hand is absolute crap, and the other person bets a dollar, of course you fold. And that's exactly what you should do. So another famous example, one of the most cited examples of a sunk cost fallacy, a huge sunk cost fallacy error incurring stupid future costs, is the Concord fallacy. Now, Wikipedia says the Concord fallacy is, quote, the sunk cost fallacy is, in game theory, sometimes known as the Concord fallacy, referring to the fact that the British and French governments continued to fund the joint development of Concord even after it became apparent that there was no longer an economic case for this aircraft. The project was regarded privately by the British government as a commercial disaster which should never have been started and was almost canceled, but political and legal issues had ultimately made it impossible for either government to pull out. So the research and development, this Concord fallacy, was already incurring throughout the project. People thought, oh, we've already gone this far, we got to keep going. Even after they've put in loads amount of money and they realized that this project was going nowhere, because they've already put in so much money already, they thought they should just continue. But that's a sunk cost. You know, the research and development and the funding that you've already used and spent up, you can't get that back. And if you know the project is a complete bust, why would you spend more money trying to fund it just to finish it? You know, at the end of the day, you have to back out. It's really about knowing when to quit. Now, here's some more fun scenarios, or not fun scenarios, but more, you know, real life examples of sunk cost fallacies. So another example is, let's say you've already read half the book. And even though you hate it, you think you might as well finish it anyways because you already read half the book. So what should you do here? Think about it. The half of the book you already read, the time you spent, is a sunk cost. You can't get that time back. You can't time travel. You've already invested half the time in reading half the book, but the book sucks. So why read the other half? Instead, you should use that time to do something else that you think would be more fun. You know, if the first 50% of a book is bad, it's very unlikely the last half will be much better or amazing. You know, this goes for movies and TV series too. Just because you've already invested a lot amount of time, you shouldn't continue going if you think it's going to be a failure of a TV series. Here's another example. I might as well keep working at this job because I've spent so much time and energy climbing the corporate ladder. Again, sunk cost fallacy. The time you've spent and the resources you've used up at this job is a sunk cost. You know, if you hate the job and you feel like your future outlook will also be more miserable at this company, why continue? Even though you've already climbed up so far the corporate ladder to get to the top, that's a big mistake. You know, how likely will the second half of that ladder be much better at this job? You know, just because you're climbing the corporate ladder, you already hated it. You know, so a good way to fight against the sunk cost fallacy is to ask yourself, you know, given the knowledge you have now, would you have started this in the first place? You know, given if you already knew this job was pretty bad, would you have started the job anyways? No. Well, it's okay because you spent the time figuring out that the job was bad. So then you should use that knowledge to quit instead of to continue. Again, you've climbed up so far. Those are sunk costs. It's okay because if you keep going, you might end up funding a project that's going to bust up anyways. Now, here's another example. I should keep taking this class even though I think I'll learn nothing because I already paid the tuition. Now, let's say you're super excited to take this new computer science class because you think you get to learn some new good coding skills. Turns out your professor hates his job, probably because he should have taken a behavioral economics class and quit 10 years ago, but he thought he put so much time into his PhD already, he kept chasing tenure. Should have not fallen into the sunk cost fallacy. So your professor hates the job. The course content is really mundane, and you feel like you could probably teach the course rather than be a student in the class. But here's the thing. You already paid the tuition. It's a sunk cost. You can't get your tuition back, so you might as well take the course and finish it, right? Well, here's the thing. Just because you pay the tuition, you know, that's a sunk cost, it doesn't justify you to continue wasting time and resources to taking the course at all. You know, you're going to be spending another 40 hours to take a typical college course. That's another 40 hours of time you could spend doing something else instead of taking the course. If you know for certain the end result is a loss, it's going to be a bust, you should not hesitate to bail, even if the bet is just $1 more, like in poker, because that's opportunity cost. You know, you already paid the tuition. You could spend 40 hours taking the course, or disregard the tuition that you've already paid because that's a sunk cost. You can't get that back. Now you can spend that 40 hours doing something else that's more productive as future decision making. You know, that 40 hours is an opportunity cost. If you spend it taking the course, you're going to learn nothing. It's the research. The project is a bust. You know, Concord fallacy, that project was a huge bust. Why invest in something that's going to be a failure? So at the end of the day, the sunk cost fallacy is caused by pride, loss aversion, which is our inability to accept losses. You know, we try to avoid losses as much as possible rather than accept gains. And our irrational commitment to past decisions and past investments. Super irrational commitment to these things. You know, sunk cost fallacies happen everywhere, you know, in jobs, in life, even in relationships. You know, thinking I've already invested so much time in this other person, might as well get married. Terrible idea. Don't do that. Sunk cost fallacy. But a lot of people do. Leave the relationship if it sucks. Stop taking the course if you're learning nothing. You know, don't finish a project that's going to be a bust and waste more time and energy. You know, for me, I've thought about even in university, if you've already spent 2 years going towards your degree, but you really don't think it's worth it anymore, just because you spent 2 years doesn't mean you should finish. Maybe it might be a right decision to take some time off and spend those final 2 years doing something else more productive, or maybe building projects you might be more passionate about. You know, sunk cost fallacies happen all the time. It's easy enough to say, though, that once you notice that something is a sunk cost, you need to make sure that it doesn't factor into your future decision making. You know, it's very easy to say that as personally as I'm saying that right now to telling you what to do. But I think it's very hard. It's very hard to avoid the sunk cost fallacy because it's very ingrained in us to continue our commitments. But at the end of the day, it's the realization that it's okay to quit something midway. It is. I'm not saying be a quitter. I'm saying being a strategic quitter. It's okay to quit something you think is a lost cause and use that future invested time to do something more productive. It's not okay to just quit things you don't like. It is okay to quit things strategically and reinvest those resources. So at the end of the day, you got to put your pride aside. You know, put your pride aside in terms of quitting and commitment. If you put in a lot of commitment and you think that you've wasted all your time, if you don't continue climbing that corporate ladder or continue taking that course or continue being in that relationship, you know, you need to realize that it isn't a rational decision. It's irrational. Those are sunk costs. And it's, again, it's easy for me to say this, but it's a realization. It's something we need to understand, at least at the very bare minimum, know that what our decision making is based on. So really, try to think of these sunk costs as a payment to realize that this specific career path you're taking is not the right path. If you invested a lot of money in one project, it's okay. Think of the sunk cost as a payment to say, hey, this project was actually not the right path. You know, let's now do something else, start something else. It's okay to walk away from failing projects or projects that will fail. Use that extra time, that opportunity cost, which is so important, to invest in something else. So instead of finishing that last hour of a terrible movie, use that extra hour to do something else that's guaranteed to be more fun. All right, thank you guys again for listening to the Grok This podcast. I've been doing this for every week now for a couple weeks in a row, and I think I've felt a lot more confident and productive in terms of doing this podcast. You know, I thought about it, like, how much more do I want to invest in terms of doing this podcast? And I was thinking, is it a sunk cost? Am I basing it off sunk cost? But, you know, really it isn't, because I think I enjoy doing this, and I think that I'm building towards something that's more productive. And I learned a lot about it myself in terms of doing these weekly podcasts, you know, interesting concepts. I hope you guys learned something too. I hope you, my listeners, thank you again, always, for supporting me on this journey. If you'd like to read more economics and finance related stuff and behavioral stuff, you know, how to make decisions, I write a lot about it on my blog, www.downtofinancedtf.com. I think you can find it if you search that on Google, or just type it into the website, www.downtofinancedtf.com. So yeah, I write a lot about behavioral economics, like decision making. I have another post about economic costs versus accounting costs and how to make decisions, factoring those things in and the difference. Of course, I also have the written version of the sunk cost fallacy, which is this podcast. I have the written version blog post you can also read on my website. I also write a lot about China. I write about stocks and investments. What stocks am I investing in? What are the best stocks? Economic outlooks, markets. I even write about economics of Valentine's Day, of Tinder, fun things like that. So also like compound interest, investments, retirement accounts, all that jazz, finance, economics, all encompassing. So if you're interested in that, make sure you check out my website. I also write a daily blog, www.thejossomlife.blog, which you probably know if you are listening to this podcast. But yeah, thank you guys again for listening to my content and supporting me. I hope you guys all have a great Easter break. A lot of my friends left for home today. I've stayed on campus. I might just end up staying on campus the whole 5 days, because I like being alone, doing my me time, studying, reading, writing, doing stuff like this. But yeah, so this has been Jeff Wang, and you're listening to the Grok This podcast. I hope you'll join me again next week for more exciting content. Thank you again for listening, and thank you again for wanting to learn more about the world.